Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Welcome once again to Playmakers Talk Show. I am Steve Klein, and our show is all about CEOs, business owners, and executives who are successful and who have successful businesses. Today we're going to talk about computer games, and we're going to talk about the other side, which is destroying computers. We have two great guests in the studio today. First is Paul Bettner. He is the CEO of Verse Incorporated, which is a game development company. And we also have Craig Boswell. Craig is the co-founder and president of Hobby International, a company that we'll talk about destroying computers, demanufactures IT equipment and cell phones. So to begin this show, we'll talk first with Craig. Now, Craig is the co-founder and president of Hobby International, and he's been extensively involved in design, development, and deployment of electronics demanufacturing and recycling techniques. Craig's background includes 9 years' experience as an electrical engineer for Texas Instruments. As president, Craig plays a key role in developing Hobby's processes and procedures for data security, asset tracking, and asset disposition services. He's authorized numerous papers and is a sought-after speaker on a broad variety of subjects, including data security in both the mobile and traditional IT space, reuse sales, and design for disassembly technology. He travels throughout North America, meeting with corporations and assisting them with designing systems that allow them to maximize revenue and minimize costs through proper life cycle. Craig, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
Well, after reading all that, there's a lot of stuff in there, but the key word that I saw was demanufacturing, and you must have the greatest job in the world. And every kid would love to work for you, destroying computers. Matter of fact, I think of Tim Allen on Tool Time, destroying everything he got his hands on. What is asset disposition?
So asset disposition isn't just taking a hammer to things, although that's the part that everybody really wants to do, but that's not the only thing we do. So we mainly work with corporations. So if you think about any large company, they're going to have a deployment of IT assets, cellular assets, and at some point they're going to want to get rid of them. So our job is to facilitate getting rid of those assets. Some of those assets we'll take in and they'll be perfectly good, like, you know, a nice Mac computer that we'll refurbish and sell, and some of them will be old and need to be destroyed. And we actually take them apart and recover the metals that they're made out of and all the materials that are in them, including any toxic materials, are handled in that process of asset disposition.
Well, I was impressed when I took a look at your website. And by the way, if you're following along, it's Hobby, which is spelled HOBI.com. You can go there and take a look at what Hobby International has. But you recycle everything, including the box that it comes in. Yes. So if anything, I guess you're a green company.
Green is a big part of what we do. If you look at electronics, there's a lot of resources that go into making electronics, from the box that it's shipped in to the materials it's made out of. So one of our jobs is to recover all those recoverable materials. You know, all these electronics have become so ubiquitous in our life. It's not unusual to meet somebody that's got a laptop, a tablet, two phones. That's a lot of material. You know, 5% of the world's palladium is used in cell phones. If we don't recover it and get back to the base metals, if we don't recycle it, they call it urban mining. If we don't urban mine it, we got to dig it out of the ground. And digging it out of the ground is not the best thing for the environment. Not only will it eventually run out, but mines tend to not be the best environmental situations. Gold mines, for instance, a lot of mercury contamination. And by recovering it right here in front of us, it's a much better environmental solution. A cell phone has 10 times more gold than what you would mine out of the ground in the ore. So why not recover that if we can?
A lot of assets. Now, when you're working with these computers, you said you check them to see if they're usable. Do what I've heard, Frankenstein? Do you take parts to put together? Do you rebuild computers if they're rebuildable?
Yeah, yeah. The 90% of our revenue is generated from selling working assets. So our goal whenever we get something is, can we reclaim it and get it back to reuse? Reuse is better for the environment if we can do it. But it's also, you know, let's take a laptop computer. As a functioning laptop, it may be worth $250. As recovered parts, it may be worth $50. And then as just raw materials, it may only be worth a couple of dollars. So we want to go as high up in that value chain as we possibly can. And if we can take two to make one, we're going to take two to make one.
Well, I've always been told if you sell a computer or cell phone, you should get rid of the hard drive. You should smash it or destroy it or whatever. Can you take the hard drive and then wipe it clean for somebody so nothing is left on there?
Yeah, data security, if you look at the evolution of our industry, you know, people 15, 20 years ago didn't think a lot about what's on their computer or their phone. But now, with it being such a personal device, you store so much information there that data security is a huge issue. And we want to be able to recover those devices without destroying them to destroy the data. So part of what we do is develop erasure technologies that will wipe that information so it is not recoverable. We'll take a hard drive, for instance, and we'll rewrite it four times with ones and zeros over the entire hard drive to make sure that any data that's on there is not recoverable. And we even go to forensics labs, you know, people that work with the police, to recover and say, okay, see if you can find something, because we think we've erased it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we want to make sure we do it. You know, we deal with banks, we deal with insurance companies that under HIPAA law, I mean, there's significant penalties for releases of data. And, you know, they're very interested in the highest data security possible. One of the things that's evolved in the industry is now corporations, they don't even let the assets leave their building with data on them. We have to physically go to the address, erase all the data, and then we can take the assets off site.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of risk involved on your part in making sure that data is destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. Risk mitigation is really important. Quality control. You know, we do millions of cellular phones, and not making a mistake when you erase 100,000 pieces of something, you know, not only requires a technology to erase, but requires quality control to ensure that it's done right every time.
Now, is most of your business based on the clients you develop that actually send you their IT equipment and cell phones, or do you deal with the public?
We do deal somewhat with the public, especially in cellular technology, but we are primarily a business-to-business enterprise. One of the key turning points in the company was realizing what we did was not about the hardware, but it's about the service. You know, big companies, they're concerned about the environment, they're concerned about data, they're concerned about the value recovery and resource recovery. And so we provide a service mainly to the large corporations. Even on the cell phone side, where mostly what we get is from consumers, we'll use enterprise reach to find those, either retail stores or some other collection point that's convenient for the consumer, and a relationship we can develop with the business.
Now, you've been doing this for 20-some years. When did the company start?
So back in 1992, we formed the company. My sister and I actually own the company. Everybody says, look out for family businesses, but it's actually been a great thing for our family. We were to the point in our lives where we would see each other on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and now we talk every day. And I can actually endorse family-run businesses. So we formed the company, bootstrapped it, money out of savings, started in my garage, the whole nine yards.
Is there a lot of competition? Are there other companies that do this across the United States?
Yeah, the market has really developed mainly in the past 10 years. A lot of small companies, it's a very fragmented market. A few, the trend in the industry is for larger companies to come in and try to piece together some of these smaller companies, maybe do a roll up. You know, we, for instance, you know, it's kind of regional. So we now have four facilities. We do some work in here in Dallas. We have a large warehouse here in Dallas. We have a warehouse in Batavia, Illinois. We have a warehouse in Phoenix, and we do some pickups in the Atlanta area that we use a third party. So because it's regional and fragmented, there's a lot of companies that maybe it's just a guy with a truck that, you know, picks stuff up from small companies in the area.
Fascinating type of business. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about something I saw on your website. There's a great video if you go to the hobby website, hobi.com. We're talking to with Craig Boswell. Craig is the co-founder and president of Hobby International. But I want to talk about what I think you talked about in the video was disassembly. You work with OEMs to design for disassembly. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Since 1947, there's been a nonprofit sleepaway camp for campers with special needs. It's Camp Summit in Argyle, Texas, a remarkable place for remarkable people. Online at campsummittx.org. This camp is unique in that campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, even allowing campers in wheelchairs to ride horses and fly down a zip line. With a 2-to-1 ratio of campers to counselors, with special 1-to-1 assistance when needed, and with no age limit, campers young and old alike can have memories that last a lifetime. Offering year-round programs, week-long summer and fall camps, and weekend and respite days, and camper safety are always top of mind at Camp Summit, with on-site medical personnel including a registered nurse and physician on call. But to ensure that campers with disabilities can attend Camp Summit, they need your help. You can help Camp Summit by calling 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900. And you can always find them online at campsummittx.org.
If you are a man facing divorce in the South Lake area, you now have access to the services of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. The firm's attorneys protect and promote men's family and financial interests before, during, and after divorce. Men choose Cordell & Cordell because they want to feel that their interests and the interests of their children are aggressively championed. Now, with offices in Southlake in addition to Dallas and Fort Worth, Cordell & Cordell is able to help even more men protect their roles in their children's lives while safeguarding their financial means to do so. If you're a man confronted with a marriage you can't save, you should consider Cordell & Cordell, a partner men can count on. Call the Southlake office at 972-490-DADS. That's 490-DADS. Or visit online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in Dallas, Fort Worth, St. Louis, and by appointment only in Southlake. Joseph Cordell, Principal Partner.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your Quantum Leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free 2-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free 2-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of 8 key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein, and Craig Boswell, the president and co-founder of Hobby International, is our guest. We've been talking about basically disassembling computers, cell phones. But as I mentioned before the break, one of the areas I saw, and I think you mentioned in the video, Craig, that you have on your website. And by the way, if you go to the website, hobi.com, you'll see a video that Craig did, very interesting video. One of the things that you mentioned is design for disassembly, and you work with the OEMs. Tell us about that. What do you do with them?
If you think about your computer or your phone, and we get to end of life, true end of life, can't reuse it, can't repair it. Well, now I got to break it down into the basic materials. There's two ways to do that. One is to put it in a machine that grinds it all up and use things like magnets and eddy current to separate it, but it doesn't generate really pure materials. And if you want something from inside the phone, like the screen, you think about how many people break their screen. So recovering screens is a big part of what we do on phones and laptops. You want to be able to get that off, and you want to be able to get it off at the lowest cost possible. Funding for recycling efforts is a very challenging thing. In Europe, when you buy a product, the OEM is responsible for taking it back at their cost. In California, when you buy a product, you pay a fee at the time of buying it, like a deposit, so that somebody can pay to recycle that. Well, there's valuable materials in there. If we can get it apart with very little labor and recover those materials, low cost, high return, I can pay for it rather than charge for it. But the designers, the guy that puts it together initially, really dictates how hard it is to get it apart. And I was a design engineer in a previous life, and I can tell you, I never thought, of course, we made missiles, so getting an apartment, blowing it up, but I never thought about taking something apart, right? I was like, I just want to get it together and get it out of here. We have to eventually take all these things apart. You know, I talked already about the resource recovery aspect. The easier we can do that, the more pure materials that we can get, the better we're going to be. And the OEMs realize this, that there's a lot of pressure coming on the OEM. They want to avoid legislation. They don't want the government to dictate, hey, it's $10 to buy a laptop because we're going to have to pay to get rid of it. They want it to be low cost. And the way to make it low cost is to have the designers make it easier to take apart, to think about things, simple things like we'll get something we have to take apart and it'll have 25, 30 screws. Half of them will be Phillips head, half of them, or a third of them will be some other type T6s, and then he'll invent some screw that nobody else has ever seen before because it's cool. You know, I'm an engineer. It's cool. I'm going to design this. But now you go to take it apart, and I got to get one screwdriver and then a different screwdriver, and that really adds to the time. So simple things like that, driven back to the design process, can make it so much easier to take something apart. And as we just create awareness, we're making a more environmentally friendly product.
So you're working with these engineers at the OEMs from the beginning.
Yes.
As it's being developed, so it makes it very easy to disassemble those products.
Yeah, our ability to recycle something at a low cost is dictated way, way before that product is ever produced. It's dictated on the design floor. When that guy's generating that first CAD drawing and he's saying, yeah, I am going to use seven different types of fasteners, or I'm going to, you know, glue two parts together rather than screw them together. They've dictated what we can do at end of life. It's out of our hands at that point. And so we want them to be aware of our burden at end of life and design more environmentally friendly. And you see companies like Apple even advertises, you know, this was designed to be easier, more green, more recyclable. There's less contaminated materials, less hazardous materials. It's clipped together instead of screwed together. It's made of aluminum, which is very recyclable, instead of maybe plastic, which is a little less recyclable, those types of things.
Similar to auto manufacturers who, when they design their vehicles, they want to be able to let the service department's local dealer be able to work on that vehicle, and they build that in. Well, how did you become an expert at this? You were working at TI, and all of a sudden you're in the disassembly business. How did that all come to be?
Well, I always tell people that nobody sets out to get in the disassembly business. They just end up there, but that's not quite true. I was very fortunate. TI is a great company, great learning experience. And they put me on an environmental program back in the early 90s. Everybody was trying to get fluorocarbons out of manufacturing. And so I went to a lot of conference on electronics and environment, getting fluorocarbons out. And there was always somebody get up at the conference and say, hey, the next thing we're going to have to worry about is end of life. Well, I'm entrepreneurial by nature. You hear the next big thing.
The light bulb went off.
Yeah. And I was fortunate. My sister was already working a little bit in the field. She was working with my father, was helping AT&T dispose of old components on boards. And so we got together, we wrote a business plan, got my uncle, who was a president of AT&T at the time, and all got in a hotel room, went over the business plan, and decided we can do this. There wasn't a lot of corporate-directed business at that time. I think the people that I work with thought I was nuts. You know, I'm an engineering manager, I'm going to go in the junk business. In fact, within 2 weeks of getting out, I got a call from a company that had big telecom frames they wanted to get rid of, and there was saleable cars in there, and I was so excited. You know, my first big deal, right? So I drive over there, and I'm in a suit and a tie because I want to look like this professional, and I walk in, and they're like, you know what? We had a steel bin out back. We needed the room. We just pushed them in the steel bin.
Oh, amazing.
And so I drive around, jump in the steel bin, and go start pulling things. That was my big first deal, was dumpster diving, essentially.
Well, I had to start someplace.
Had to start someplace.
That's right. Well, this is, thinking back, this is early 90s, And this is still pre-laptops. There weren't that many laptops. The internet really wasn't really popular back then. Cell phones were pretty antique. They were the old bricks if you had one. In most cases, they were car phones. So were you dealing with a lot of mainframes, things like that when you started?
Yeah. Back in that time frame, you were mainly doing rip-outs of big data centers, big iron, IBM big iron, lots of material value. And we did a lot of telecom, the old telecom switching gear. You would pull boards out of that and sell them for repair houses, and then you would recycle the rest. There used to be a board in one of the IBM frames that had $300 worth of gold. It would be several thousand dollars worth of gold. And so you would go find those things, and that's how you'd make the money. And as PCs started to penetrate the market, it just expanded for us. And then cellular even more. Probably one of the key steps in the company was getting into the cellular space, because it is just, I mean, everything is going mobile today, including the enterprise, and that was very important for us to be in the cellular space.
So in sense of purposes, your business has really been reinvented over the years a number of times over the last 20 years. As an entrepreneur, you said that you had that entrepreneurial spirit, you've been in business for around 20 years. Is there any advice you would give other entrepreneurs or business owners? Because you've lived it. You've gone through it. You dumpster dove for your first contract. Anything you would suggest to entrepreneurs that they should look at or do if they want to start a business that they have to focus on?
I think when you start, we bootstrapped the company. So we didn't go out and raise money. We started small and grew incrementally.
So you started with no debt.
We started with no debt, but no money either.
Right.
But, you know, immediately from the start, we wrote a business plan. And we acted like we were going to go raise money, because we really needed the discipline of going through all the steps that a business plan requires, and all the disciplines, you know, competitive intelligence and pro forma financial planning. And I said a key thing was realizing it was a service business rather than a hardware business. That business plan exercise is actually what kind of brought that to the surface, because we kept talking about all these service steps. You know, how do we get big companies to work with us? Well, we provide better service. And, you know, we're sitting around thinking, you know, this is about service. It's not about I can get $100 for this. It's about I can get it out of an office tower. You know, I've been in about every tall office building in the country, you know, trying to get stuff out of some floor, and it's a union shop, and you have all these logistics issues, and those types of things are what we solve for our clients. And that's why they select us, if we can do that well, because they can essentially outsource the whole activity to us. And, you know, writing that business plan was important. And since then, you know, as soon as possible, we got a good board of directors. And, you know, I rely a lot on my board. I have a very good board. Like I said, I'm fortunate to work with my sister, and so we both use the board a lot. And that discipline of, you know, I mean, we're not a publicly traded company. We don't have to do it, but that discipline has really helped us as well.
Craig Boswell is the president and co-founder of Hobby International, which is HOBI.com. And I believe your telephone number, if they want to get a hold of you, is 214-951-0143. It's 214-951-0143, or make it real easy, just go to hobihobby.com. Craig, it's fascinating. I learned a lot about how computers and cell phones have to come apart. Thank you very much for being a guest.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a quick break. This is Playmakers Talk Show, but don't go away. We have another rather interesting person that you'll want to listen to. His name is Paul Bettner, and he's a game developer. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Lars David Staberg, general manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
Executives, a free two-hour peak performance workshop is available right now. I'm Steve Klein, host of the 570 KLIF Playmakers Talk Show and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills will move your people toward a quantum leap? Communication, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making, problem-solving, teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership, or customer service. To get your free two-hour peak performance workshop with a minimum of 8 key people, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
Oh, yeah, you love coffee. Everybody does. But not everybody treats their coffee the way it deserves to be treated. I mean, some people pour themselves a hot, steamy cup and then put just anything in there. Skim milk? 1%? No. If you really love your coffee, you'd stir in rich, creamy coffee mate. Coffee's perfect mate, baby, is what it's been yearning for all morning long.
Head to your neighborhood Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy to pick up the Cumulus Dallas-Fort Worth Medical Guide, sponsored by Karen Care Insurance Company. From pediatricians to podiatrists, to chiropractors to cardiologists, it's a who's who listing of doctors and filled with interesting and informative articles on how to prevent stress, the rise of skin cancer in teens, and more. Your medical guide is free. Pick yours up at the prescription counter at Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy for your copy of the Cumulus Dallas Medical Guide, sponsored by Karen Care Insurance Company.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. As I mentioned before the break, we have a game developer with us. This is Paul Bettner. Paul has been creating interactive entertainment for 20 years. At Microsoft Game Studios, Paul helped create the blockbuster hits Halo Wars and Age of Empires. In 2008, Paul and his brother Dave left Microsoft and founded New Toy Incorporated. They first developed the turn-based multiplayer chess game called Chess with Friends. By May 2009, they were engrossed in what they believed would launch them into their first real opportunity to start their own game company. They spent their days in the McKinney Public Library and worked furiously in the corners of the local downtown coffee shops to create what became the highest-rated and most downloaded app on iTunes at the time, Word with Friends, and that changed mobile social gaming forever. Now, Words with Friends was officially released in July 2009. The game has been a rapid and consistent success, sustained by a huge fan base and intriguing celebrities and even entire sports teams to refer to the game as a favorite. Now, last year, 2012, Paul founded a new game development studio, Verse Incorporated, which carries on the tradition of creating beloved products that connect the world through play. Paul, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You've been in the game business for a while. How'd you get started in the game development business?
It's really just a work of passion for me. I've been playing games since I could see, I think, and since I was a kid. And, I just have had this sort of, early on in my life, I decided if I'm going to have to go do something, for, 8 hours a day, it better be something that I like doing. And, I think that's kind of guided me since then. I kind of got into the game industry, while I was still a teenager, started kind of dabbling, creating products on my own, started my first company when I was 17, I think, if that's even legal, maybe, I don't know. I can't remember exactly when it was now, but, and just kind of have been doing that since.
So you've been in the game business for all intents and purposes, your entire adult life, beginning in the teens.
Yeah.
When did you start at Microsoft?
I started at Microsoft really when I first came out here to Texas. That was my first sort of official job in the industry. So that would have been 1998.
So you've been, officially, let's see, that's around 15 years or so. You stayed with Microsoft how long?
I was at Microsoft quite a while. Actually, the company that I came out here to join was called Ensemble Studios, and it was the company that created Age of Empires and Halo Wars that you mentioned earlier. And I joined that company in 1998. We got acquired, I believe, in 2001 by Microsoft. So that became Microsoft Game Studios.
Oh, so you were moved into Microsoft, yes, by the acquisition.
By the acquisition, yeah. And then we ran the studio here for them for another 6 years or so.
So it's the game development business. You began a couple of businesses. The first one was, what was that, Newtoy?
Yes. Yeah, so to kind of chronologically, I came out here to join Ensemble Studios. That team was about, I think at our height, it was about 100 people right off Royal Lane and 75 making games at the old hotels.com building, if you know what that is. We were at the top of that building. Did that for quite a while. My brother actually joined that studio halfway through, and he was making games with me, primarily working on strategy games there, those kind of real-time strategy like Age of Empires. And then once he joined, and kind of, going back into our years as kids, we had talked about this idea of starting a company together. And, when I talk about playing games as a kid, of course, it was him and I on the couch. My sister, maybe not so much, but him and I, playing games together. I think we kind of had this dream in our head for quite a while of maybe someday we'll go off and do this together, have our own studio. He joined Microsoft Game Studios and we worked together there for 4 or 5 years. And we kind of tossed around ideas for going and starting our own studio. But the barrier to entry into the game industry was really pretty high for the longest time. You had to get a publishing deal. You had to, have a direct relationship with an Electronic Arts or,
it was really Sony. Controlled by the big boys.
Yeah. Yeah. And a big part of what we're doing now is the kind of transition from that to the way it works today. But anyhow, so we're sitting around and we kind of looked at these opportunities and that, kind of kept us from doing it. And then the iPhone came out and we just looked at that and said, if there was ever a time for us to pursue this, it's got to be now. And so we quit Microsoft and found a new toy.
And then you were purchased by, was it Zynga?
Zynga. That's right.
So that was when?
We were purchased by Zynga in 2010. So really just 2 years after we had really kicked off the company from our own, living rooms to the point at which we sold. It was quite the roller coaster ride.
I want to come back and talk more about where you're going with Verse, but something you mentioned a while ago, do you remember one of the first games you started playing as a kid?
One of the games that really dominates my memory was a game called Doom, and it was actually created here in Texas. A lot of people don't know this, but Dallas, and of course Austin, but actually Dallas is quite a hub for game developers. There's, a lot of these games, Doom, Quake, companies like id Software, 3D Realms, Borderlands was created here by Gearbox. so there's this very vibrant game development community industry that has roots here in Dallas, going back quite a bit. So anyway, one of the first games that was created here, by id Software was Doom. And so my brother and I, we would just play that. Endlessly. And, I think that was one of the first games that started my own personal thread of my career, which has been to pursue games that are social, that are multiplayer, that connect people together. And that's the way we would play that game. We would kind of wire our computers up and just play, through the night.
Well, you created Chess with Friends, Words with Friends. What's your passion? What type of game do you like developing?
I'm fascinated by games that involve multiple players that players can connect together. I think the first time that really fundamentally technology, the first time I saw, that I could sort of wire one computer to another computer and type something at one end of the room and then it would show up on the other end of the room, I just thought that was the neatest thing ever. And then was a very early adopter of the internet when it was really just dial-ups and modems. And I ran, that was that first business I mentioned when I was 17, was actually a dial-up internet business that I developed a couple games there my players. And that's kind of followed me throughout my career. When I was working on those strategy games, at Ensemble and Microsoft, that was the area I focused on as well, was on the parts of the game that allowed people to connect and play together.
Well, between the iPhone, social media, everything's becoming more social. You talked about, you like the fact that you want to work on games where multiple people can be involved with that. Mm-hmm. And it's going that direction with the tablets and everything else too. And that's something else with why you started Verse. Now there's a new console that's out that you want to develop games for. Is that correct?
That's right.
And that's called?
It's called the Ouya.
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 And how is that different from what's out there right now?
So the Ouya is a $99 console. So fundamentally, that's just a kind of you know, a multiple less than the next Xbox or the next PlayStation.
They're double or triple that.
Yeah, $300 or $400. And the Ouya is a $99 box. It's a much more open box. And so, you know, kind of going back to the iPhone, one of the reasons that my brother and I decided when the iPhone came out and actually when the App Store was announced that we had to go pursue this opportunity is that that barrier that I mentioned for breaking into the industry and creating a company and, you know, being able to produce your own games, it fell away. What Apple did is they democratized the entire industry in one fell swoop by saying, if you're if you can spend $99 and you have a laptop, you can make an app that can compete with a multi-thousand person company. And, you know, when we realized that, that we could, you know, bootstrap that company ourselves and get a game out there without having to sign a publishing deal and do all these other things, that was really what we believed would generate this economy of scale that you actually see now with a million apps out there. And I think Apple just announced that they've paid out $5 billion to developers since the App Store first came out. It's just an astonishing number when that industry didn't even exist, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Well, anyhow, tying that back to the Ouya, Ouya is a console that's trying to do that same thing in your living room. So right now, we are all getting kind of used to, as consumers, this experience of downloading apps on our phone. And if I have some neat game or some neat app that I like, I'm just going to tell you, and you're going to just go download it on your phone right there. You don't have to go to a store. You don't have to go, you know, get a box or anything like that. That experience has not translated into the living room yet. So when you sit down on your couch with your TV, you really only consume content there in one primary way, which is through whatever's being piped down through your cable box, and you can change channels and that kind of thing. But you can't download apps on your TV. You can't, you know, play a 99-cent game on your TV, not easily anyway. And that industry there with Xbox and PlayStation and these larger players has kind of continued to grasp onto the way it's worked up till now, which is a $60 game. You go to GameStop, you go to Walmart, you buy the game, you come home and you install it. And the Ouya is trying to do something fundamentally different, and they're trying to disrupt that industry in the living room in the same way that Apple disrupted on, you know, with handheld devices. And when I see that happening, and they, you know, their Kickstarter was, you know, that's how they initially got funded. They ran a Kickstarter.
If I'm correct, they set a record, didn't they?
They did. They were, I think they initially set out to raise, you know, $800,000, and they ended up raising multiple millions of dollars. Because so many people were drawn to that idea of a lower cost console that would have an app store that they could just easily plug into their TV and download these, you know, lower cost, smaller, bite-sized entertainment.
The concept is fascinating. That's what we're going to talk about after our break. Stay with us. We're going to talk more about Ouya and how it's a $99 console and what Ouya may be doing, what Apple did with the iTunes Store. Paul Bittner is our guest. He's a game developer. We'll talk more with Paul right after this.
Since 1947, there's been a nonprofit sleepaway camp for campers with special needs. It's Camp Summit in Argyle, Texas, a remarkable place for remarkable people. Online at campsummittx.org. This camp is unique in that campers are accepted without regard to the severity of their disability, even allowing campers in wheelchairs to ride horses and fly down a zip line. With a 2-to-1 ratio of campers to counselors, with special 1-to-1 assistance when needed, and with no age limit, campers young and old alike can have memories that last a lifetime. Offering year-round programs, week-long summer and fall camps, and weekend and respite days, and camper safety are always top of mind at Camp Summit, with on-site medical personnel including a registered nurse and physician on call. But to ensure that campers with disabilities can attend Camp Summit, they need your help. You can help Camp Summit by calling 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900. And you can always find them online at campsummittx.org.
Spice up the night at Luna de Noche Tex-Mex Grill with stuffed avocado salad, old-fashioned tacos, and more. Score half off at sweetjack.com.
Sweet Jack, now that's a real sweet deal.
Sweetjack.com.
Paid for by Sainsbury & Associates Investment Research.
Jim, did you know that right now, some retail banks around the country are allowing people to exchange ordinary paper dollars for real holding-your-hand silver?
What?
Yeah, I'm talking about walking into almost any ordinary bank in the U.S., then after a short and free transaction in many instances, bingo, walking out with a handful of real silver.
Banks are just handing out silver?
Yes, it's all part of a little-known loophole, although very few people know how to take advantage of it.
And anyone can try this, exchange paper dollars for silver?
Yep, you don't even need an account with the bank.
Come on, there's got to be a catch.
Nope. No accounts to open, no personal information to give out. Listen, a former professional on Wall Street recently posted a free video online showing exactly how to do it. Just go to www.retirementsilver14.com and check it out. You won't believe how easy this can be. That website again is retirementsilver14.com. Retirementsilver, the number 14.com. www.retirementsilver14.com.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your quantum leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of eight key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We are speaking with Paul Bettner. Paul is, as his bio says, a game developer, an entrepreneur. He also is a co-creator of Words with Friends. And we've been talking about a new concept that's not out yet, right, Paul?
It actually came out today.
Oh,
so
it did?
It's good timing, yeah.
Oh, perfect, perfect timing. Ouya, which is spelled O-U-Y-A, and this is kind of the next big thing, would you call it?
I think so. I mean, being an entrepreneur is all about timing. And, you know, so I hope that this is the opportunity that we're pursuing is, you know, we had really great timing when we went after the iPhone and as a market. At the time we did that, everybody kind of thought, you know, what are you doing? Well, there's people aren't going to play games on that. This was right at the birth of the iPhone when we started working on it. Same thing here. You know, Ouya just came out. I think the traditional industry, the Xboxes, the PlayStations of the world are looking at that and saying, oh, come on, that's not going to. But I really think a year from now, it's going to look like a very different landscape.
So you started Verse, which is your new company, because of Ouya?
Yeah, really to pursue this opportunity that we saw that felt a lot like that time we went to work on iPhone games.
So the future will be, I'm sitting in my living room, and I can download a game, mm-hmm. one of your games, on Ouya. I have an Ouya, and for $99, I can get the Ouya, hook it to my TV, and I can actually download and play these through my TV.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I believe that the term that's starting to be coined for these kinds of devices is a micro console. It's a, you know, it's a device that you will plug into your TV. Ouya will be one. There's actually probably going to be a couple of them that are out by this holiday. And yeah, the experience that you're used to now on your phone of just having an app store and downloading, your friend tells you about something, that's going to be the same experience you have in your living room. And it won't just be games. You know, it'll be getting your photos and your music and all these things on your TV in your living room.
So I'm holding up my my iPhone now. Everything I can do on this iPhone now with the iTunes store, mm-hmm. I can download. I can now download to Ouya. And I can do the same thing through the TV, through the Ouya box.
It's getting started.
And that's the direction we're going
that
into.
That is absolutely the direction
we're going into. I can see that as a void that needs to be filled. I can see how
it seems like it, right?
Ouya is going to do that too. Yeah. Well, you're also looking for additional people
yeah,
for your business.
Yeah.
Who are you looking for?
What
types of people are you looking for?
We're primarily looking for engineers. You know, right now, we are looking for specifically engineers that have experience working on big budget AAA games, you know, like Xbox, PlayStation games. It's funny, but when we started Newtoy, I had this kind of theory that here's a new market, and traditionally with a new disruptive market, there's underinvestment, you know. So you tend to find hobbyists and sort of small budget kind of efforts. And my theory was, what if I, you know, draw from this pool of my friends that have been creating games for many, many years that I've worked with, that have worked on, you know, these huge budget games. They know all about game design, what makes a game fun, how to make a beautiful, you know, product. what if I take that and apply it to this brand new space where, you know, there's not going to be a lot of that happening. And it's the same thing in this case. So, you know, this micro console movement that I'm talking about right now, I think it's being underinvested in for what it's going to become. And, you know, we're trying to go in the other direction, again, swim against the current a little bit and say, you know, we want to hire these very experienced game developers and apply them to this brand new space.
Well, you have an interesting office situation, too. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I'm not originally from Texas, but I've been here for quite a while now. My wife grew up in McKinney, and when she first introduced me to that kind of old downtown area, I really fell in love with it. We have a house there now. And we're officing out of an old building there in McKinney. And so I've just kind of fallen in love with the kind of older stuff. And we're right on the square there. So all our employees can just kind of walk to the coffee shops and the pubs and that kind of stuff around there. It's real neat.
Well, if you would see the way that Paul is dressed, I'm guessing that your whole business philosophy is extremely casual.
Yeah, it's casual. I mean, we're making games, and you know, part of that is playing games in the office as research. You know, we play test our own games on a regular basis. It's very laid back. At the same time, it's fairly high intensity. So I don't know if that kind of sounds like a contradiction, but what I mean is, we're not interfacing directly with customers. We don't have people coming to the office to play the games. So, you know, we can have a more casual dress and attire and that kind of thing. But what we're doing, the products we're creating, it's really challenging. You know, game development is just really about being on the cutting edge of whatever's happening in technology. So, you know, our engineers are working on some of the hardest problems that engineers can work on in the world. We have, you know, artists that are just doing, you know, cutting edge art as well. We have sound people, designers, that all have to come together. And it's a high intensity kind of work.
And really this is a ground floor opportunity for somebody who wants to get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would have worked out well for somebody who joined us when we were New Toy. So I'm hoping it's the same in this case.
The website is VerseHQ, VerseHQ.com. There's not a whole lot there, but if you go there and it says we're hiring and you click on it, you'll get to email them and you can send any information. One of the things that I downloaded from one of the areas when I was doing some research on you, it says that join Verse and together we'll change the world one game at a time.
Yeah. So there's kind of a funny story behind that because when we started New Toy back in 2008, my brother and I, you know, I distinctly remember we're sitting around my living room. We've got this whiteboard that was the cheapest whiteboard we could have possibly bought. You know, we're just really trying to do everything as low cost and low key. And we're writing up there, what's the vision statement for the company? And, you know, we kind of wrote up all these different. And finally, I get to the bottom and I'm not really liking anything. And I write, we're going to change the world. And, you know, my brother looks at that and he's like, yeah, Paul, it's a game company. You know, like, let's back off from that. And, you know, the reality of it is, Words with Friends has been downloaded almost 500 million times now. It has absolutely changed the world. There many people have been married by meeting through the app. There's one fellow in Australia who saved another person's life because through the game they were talking and he found out that guy had symptoms of a heart attack, told him to go to the hospital, he was in the middle of a heart attack. I mean, just these ridiculous stories. But I think that's because we did set out truly to create applications and games that transcended the experience of just playing the game. It became about the social connection that the people were having. And, you know, I think when I think back to those titles that we were creating then and what we're creating now, that's the kind of experience we're trying to capture. It, you know, when you're sitting around and you're playing a board game with your family or your friends, if I asked you the next day, what do you remember about that board game? You wouldn't say, oh, I just remember that time that I took Park Place and I put $400 on it and I won, because you'd say, oh, I remember when you told that joke about this thing and it was hilarious. And, you know, you'd remember those social moments that you had with your friends. And when we create the products that we created at New Toy and now that we're trying to create at Verse, that's what we're trying to keep in mind is, you know, we're trying to picture those connections that people have, the smiles on their faces when they're enjoying the products, and that's what we're trying to build for.
As you were saying that, you're going back to the days where board games just came out. You're going back to the days when TV started, mm-hmm. or radio started. It's those days when people sat around the radio together, they sat around the board games, and they played together. So we're coming full circle. We're going back to that because of all the social media, and you're really putting social into all your games.
Yeah. You were telling me a story during the break about how, you know, you enjoyed some older video games like Space Invaders, these kinds of things. I hear those stories all the time, and what I see with those folks is that they don't have those experiences in their life anymore. They don't connect to games anymore. They think, well, the games have gotten too complicated, or I'm too busy for what have you. We're trying to bring that back, and I think there's no reason why those people can't be enjoying play in their lives. It's a really important part of the human experience. We're trying to bring that back for them.
Well, check out Ouya, O-U-Y-A, which is the next big thing in game consoles for $99 and has just been released. And you'll be seeing some games coming from Verse Incorporated, which is Paul Bettner's company. Paul has been our guest. Paul is a game developer, entrepreneur, co-creator of Words with Friends, so you know he's going to have some good games coming out. Go to Verse HQ if you're interested in possibly being an employee of that company and getting on the ground floor. Paul, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. You can always get any of our archive shows at playmakerstalkshow.com. In addition, if you go to the homepage of playmakerstalkshow.com, you'll see the current guests, their bios, their pictures, anything you want to know about them. You can also contact us with more questions. Playmakers Talk Show, we'll be back the same time next week. Please join us. I'm Steve Klein. See you then.
I'm Lars David Staberg, General Manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
Executives, a free two-hour peak performance workshop is available right now. I'm Steve Klein, host of the 570 KLIF Playmakers Talk Show and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills will move your people toward a quantum leap? Communication, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making, problem-solving, teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership, or customer service. To get your free two-hour peak performance workshop with a minimum of 8 key people, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
Oh yeah, you love coffee. Everybody does. But not everybody treats their coffee the way it deserves to be treated. I mean, some people pour themselves a hot, steamy cup and then put just anything in there. Skim milk? 1%? No. If you really love your coffee, you'd stir in rich, creamy coffee mate. Coffee's perfect mate, baby, is what it's been yearning for all morning long.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
96.3 FM, HD2, and 570 AM.
Two great places to keep up with your world with KLIF News and Information.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222. Poison can be anything you're not supposed to take. Antifreeze, pesticide, the wrong drug by mistake. If you breathed a nasty chemical, been bitten by a snake, call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here for you night or day.
For a poison or drug emergency at home or at work, just call the Poison Control Center hotline. We're here 24/7 with the expert help you need, free and confidential. Even if you think it's a false alarm, call
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222. If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2.
That's where you'll find us.
News and information, KLIF.
News and information, 570 AM.
96.3 FM HD2. KLIF Dallas. KSCS FM HD2 Fort Worth. KLIF.com.
A Cumulus station.